Hello, welcome to the Richard Hunter interview. As ever, this is a place where I'll be discussing matters of interest with a whole range of investment experts. In this episode, I'm pleased to be joined by Fraser McKersey, co-manager of the Unicorn UK Ethical Income Fund. Fraser is also co-manager of the Acorn Income Fund and lead manager of Unicorn UK Growth. He joined Unicorn in 2008, having previously held positions with F&C Asset Management and Geegan & Co. Chartered Accountants. He graduated from the University of St Andrews in 2003 with a degree in Economics and Management and is also a Fellow of the Association of Chartered Certified Accountants. So the Unicorn UK Ethical Income Fund, perhaps you could first of all just kick us off by talking us through the objectives and the strategy of the fund.
Sure. So it's a UK-focused income fund. So the primary driver for us is generating a good quality income stream for our investors. It's a high conviction fund. So we currently have 36 holdings. And unlike a lot of other income funds out there, we do tend to focus further down the market cap scale for ideas. And you know, the benefits of that are plentiful. We think there are some excellent companies in the UK in the small and mid-cap space. And there's some great mispriced opportunities, as you know, and as experts in the small and mid-cap space, we feel we're very well placed to find those opportunities, those mispriced opportunities. In terms of the ethical approach that we take, you know, this is based on a very successful fund that we launched a number of years ago, the Unicorn UK Income Fund. In 2016, we decided to launch an ethical version of that fund with additional limits and screens that go into that. So what we do is take the income fund and we reduce it down to a slightly smaller list, dependent on the screens that we have in place.
Okay, so in terms of the ethical income fund itself, what are the sort of sector weightings where you're tending to be looking and held within the fund?
Yeah, so we're generalists and we'll look in any area. I think it's worth noting that's part of the core process, and this goes across all the funds at Unicorn. There are a number of sectors that we choose not to invest in. So there's no oil and gas, there's no mining, no big pharma, which if you look at the UK market, no tobacco stocks, these are big sections of the market that we're taking out. So then I guess you've got to look at what's left over, and we'll look at all of those sectors. And then you've also got to look at what we're good at in the UK. And you know, we think we're very good in financial services. We're very good in engineering. So there's, you know, and that is reflected, I guess, in the portfolio construction and the portfolio weighting. So we've traditionally had a decent exposure to financial services. The engineering weighting has been fairly strong. We have a good weighting in real estate investment trusts as well, with a good selection of fairly diverse companies within that space. And then probably the next largest is construction and materials. And again, a good diverse range of high quality businesses within that sector.
So what are these sort of things that you're looking for in specific specific stocks, be that quality, value, dividends?
Yeah, we're really looking for a combination. You know, we invest in profitable, cash generative, well capitalized companies that we think have the ability to pay a dividend to shareholders that's meaningful, but also retain sufficient capital in the business to continue to grow and invest. And they're the characteristics that we're looking for. We're also, you know, looking for market leaders within an individual field. So admittedly, it might be quite a niche field that they operate in, but we want to back the best within that field. And I think, you know, in current market conditions, it's important as ever to be backing the best, the market leader. And that's something that you'll see time and time again when you look through the portfolio, clear market leaders backed by really sound financials with low levels of debt.
So with that in mind, perhaps you could talk us through some of your top holdings or positions at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk for hours about this portfolio, but I won't do that in the interest of time. So some of our larger holdings, we have a company called Telecom Plus. That's our second largest, maybe better known to people as Utility Warehouse. So this is topical at the moment. And Utility Warehouse pull together all your domestic services, whether that's gas, electricity, broadband, phone, package it up in one tidy bill and sell that to customers. They score very high with which. It's a good service. That's one of the largest holdings at the moment. It's obviously from our side, from a predictability of dividends, it's strong because it has utility-like characteristics. But actually, we also feel that when you look over the longer term, the growth opportunities are also so fairly significant. So that's one of the larger holdings that we have. Another interesting one is Marshalls. So a holding we've held for a number of years in the income fund and since inception of this fund. You may recognize Marshalls trucks from the motorways and pallets from city centers. They are the biggest and best producer, manufacturer of block paving in the UK, have a very, very strong market position, whether that be your driveway at home or your, you know, your city center paved areas. There's a good chance Marshalls are involved in that, and they are the biggest, they're the best, they continue to innovate, they continue to we think get stronger and stronger. And from the ethical side as well, and from the additional ESG screens that we run on the portfolio, they come up extremely well as well. Very forward thinking in that respect. So a great, great business, a great British business.
And you mentioned your exposure earlier to the financials. Presumably within your top holdings, there's a smattering of financial stocks as well.
Yes, absolutely. There are, you know, Brewin Dolphin is in the top 10 holdings. So again, you know, I'm sure your listeners will be familiar with Brewin Dolphin. That's a long-term holding for us. Sabre Insurance, a car insurance business, also in the top 10 as well. So yes, there are Polar Capital as well. So there's quite a few financials in that top 10 as well.
So, I mean, obviously we've been through quite an extraordinary 18 months or so. How have you found that the fund has coped before, during, and since the machinations of last March or thereabouts?
Yeah, it's been a very, very interesting period to be involved in the markets, and especially running income funds, which we do here. So, you know, looking at the income side of things, first of all, I think we saw some big dividend cuts and pauses in the early part of last year. You know, faced with such uncertainty in March, companies took the prudent view, even if they could afford to continue to pay dividends, to pause until they had a clearer picture of how the pandemic was going to play out and the impact on their business. So in the first half, we saw, you know, some pretty big dividend cuts or pauses. What we saw in the second half was a really, really strong recovery. So when there was a bit more clarity about how the world was going to operate and the impact this would have on certain sectors, certain companies, we saw a sharp bounce back in dividend payments. And that's continued into this year. So actually, overall, we're really kind of pleased with the resilient performance from a dividend perspective. And what our observation there is that the majority of cuts or pauses that we saw in the early part of last year were very temporary in nature, and dividends have come back very strongly since. So from an income perspective, we feel we're in a good position and recovered strongly in the second half, and then that's continued into this year. From a capital perspective, again, small and mid caps were hit as part of the initial sell-off, as was the kind of broader market. Again, we've been pleased with the way that the portfolio has recovered from a capital perspective. And, you know, we look forward now with optimism. We've been through a challenge that no one has ever faced in equity markets. We're pleased with the resilience of the portfolio, pleased with the way that we've come through that. And we also look forward with optimism. You know, I think it's fair to say that, you know, good companies will come out of this in an even stronger position on the other side, whether it's the, you know, they're more efficient in the way that they operate, or whether their market position has strengthened as other competitors struggle to cope with the challenges. You know, we think good companies will long term come out of this in a stronger position probably than they went in. And I think our focus, you know, consistently on low levels of debt and sensible management teams, strong business models, market leaders, I think stood us in good stead during a pretty extreme test last year.
So it sounds from what you're saying as though you pretty much ran with the holdings you had. Did the market drops give you any opportunities to perhaps rebalance or rejig the portfolio at all?
Yeah, you know, opportunities do arise. These periods are horrible to go through day to day. It's not much fun for anyone. And I think my wife can probably testify to that. But yeah, they do present some great opportunities. If you're able to take a long-term view, and we do, you know, our average holding period in the income fund is 6 years. We have the ability to take a long-term view. And clearly, there was some short moves in share prices that created excellent opportunities for the long term. It's worth saying, you know, there were one or two holdings that we did exit during March last year. I think we looked at it in two ways. We kind of tried to understand whether there was a potential long-term impact on the sector or the company that we invested in as a result of the pandemic, so, you know, a permanent change in the attractiveness of that business, or if the level with debt was uncomfortable faced with so much uncertainty. So in a a small number of holdings. We did take action to exit in kind of March and April last year. On the flip side, I think we were able to add some new positions that have contributed in that recovery. And I think we've also been able to top up some long-term positions as well that we felt were oversold.
It's interesting that you mentioned small caps because, of course, traditionally these are businesses, I'm thinking particularly on AIM, for example, which tend to entirely reinvest their profits as the business is growing, as opposed to paying, out shareholder returns. Does that add an extra level of difficulty for you?
I think it does. I think one thing we look to establish with our companies is their kind of capital allocation policy and the requirements of a business to continue to fund that growth. So the last thing we want them to do is, be beholden to a dividend policy which is unsustainable and the business gradually deteriorates over time. That's not what we want. I think we feel in the small cap space that good, well-managed companies have the ability and the opportunity to kind of get that balance right by returning some cash to shareholders in the form of dividends, but also funding the future growth. And it's all about striking that balance right, I think.
So what to put all that together, Fraser, what's your outlook from here and how are you positioned?
Yeah, we're upbeat. The portfolio, I think, is fairly domestically focused, which we're happy with. Valuations in the UK have drifted compared to international peers, it's fair to say, since the middle of 2016. And we do have a bit more clarity around a number of areas. So I think that discount is unwarranted. So there are clearly opportunities in the UK market when you kind of step back. We think the companies are in good health. As I said, they've come through a really extreme challenge, I think, in good shape. And probably over the longer term, we'll be in even stronger positions going forward as well. And we haven't really seen the benefit of that yet, but that's probably just our observations as well. So this combination of quite attractive valuations relative to the rest of the world and a portfolio of companies that we feel will be on the front foot is a strong combination. And then when you combine that with the strong dividend payments as well, I think it's quite an exciting time to be investing in UK small and mid caps.
And of course, at the moment, we're talking on this particular fund with an emphasis on the ethical. Obviously, all things ESG, extremely popular at the moment and gaining more and more attention. Do you think further down the line, we might get to a situation where companies just don't have to mention ESG? It will be taken as read and that will potentially throw a question mark over ethical funds needed to be almost listed separately, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the adoption of ESG is really great to see across the market cap spectrum. And I think, you've seen the larger companies probably adopt it first. It's taken time for some of the smaller companies, not to kind of undertake initiatives, but just to report on what they're doing in a way that's clear for investors. And I think that will take time. It's something we encourage our investee companies to do. I think it's kind of well known at the moment that the larger company, almost the better the ESG rating. And that's not down to what the companies are actually doing. It's just in terms of how they're reporting and telling people about all the good work that they do. So we think it's a positive move. ESG going mainstream is good. We firmly believe that companies that are run responsibly will also generate better returns for shareholders. And I think that can only be a positive for investors over the longer term as well.
That's terrific. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. So many thanks again for your time, Fraser, and for those valuable insights. That's Fraser McKersey, co-manager of the Unicorn UK Ethical Income Fund. And thank you for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. And of course, you can find much more by the way of investment insight and ideas at ii.co.uk. I'll be back next Tuesday with another Richard Hunter interview. Bye for now.